Thanks for joining us here at Sandals Church, because here we are all about this vision of being real. So no matter where you're from, no matter what your story is, this is a place where you can be real. And right now, God is creating so much momentum through this vision of being real. So the question is, what will you do with your moment of faith? And you can join us through this whole momentum project at move.sc/momentumonline or join us on our app. Have a great week.
Faith is something that is essential to your relationship with God. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God. You cannot make God happy in your relationship with Him.
To not believe in Jesus in our age takes way more faith than it does to believe. Listen, your faith, it's a field that's worth defending.
The Bible says, in His loving kindness, He saved us. It's our faith built upon this truth that inspires us to cultivate kindness to others.
Regardless of what the world says about what's right or wrong or what we should think or feel, our faith is this internal compass that guides us. And the reality is that without faith, we cannot call ourselves Christians.
Good morning, Sandals Church. Man, I'm so glad you guys are here today. Super excited to have you. We're in a series called 40 Days of Faith. And let me just tell you, there's going to be a moment in your life where you need faith. Great faith. Even if you're not a Christian or you consider yourself an atheist, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a moment where you need to believe in something bigger than yourself. And last week, I was reminded of those moments in life where we need something bigger than ourselves. And it came in the simple form of a text message. Sometimes it comes in a phone call. Sometimes it's something you see on the news or something you experience personally, but I received a text message and it said, one of my best friends was involved in an accident. And it says, please pray. Head and neck injuries involved. And my heart just sank. Head and neck injuries involved. And just so you know, when that happens, man, you might not walk, you might not talk, you might not ever be the same. And I began to pray for my friend. Please pray. See, there's gonna be a moment in time where you can't fix what just went wrong, where you can't put it back together, where regardless of all your ability, all your skill, all the expertise, nobody can put it back together, and you're gonna need something bigger than you, greater than you, more powerful than you. You see, many of us, you know, have forgotten the age-old story of Humpty Dumpty. Anybody remember that story, Humpty Dumpty? It's not for kids, it's for adults. See, regardless of how fat, healthy, and wealthy you are, if you fall, all your horses and all your men may not be able to put you back together again. Sometimes you need more than money. Sometimes you need more than power. Sometimes you need God. And I don't know where your life is today, but some of us, we need to be stitched back together. And so we begin to pray for my friend. And the next text message came in, so keep praying. CT scan confirmed. There's brain bleeding. A brain bleed. Neck is okay, but the head might not be. And my friend's a professor. And if you don't know, you need your brain to be a professor. And so we just started praying and we started trusting God. I talked with his wife this week. She said, as she drove to the hospital, panicked, she said, we just bought a 2-story house. I've got a husband who's going to be paralyzed. In an instant, her whole life changed. We just began to pray and cry out to God. Now, here's the miracle, man. For whatever reason, known only to God, his brain stopped bleeding. They didn't need to do surgery. And this last week, I got to have dinner with him. And the whole time at dinner, I'm just staring at him. I'm watching him eat. I'm watching him eat, and he's looking at, what are you looking at? I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. You're eating. You're walking. You're talking. The only thing wrong with him was his face was a little messed up, which was good because he was way too good looking to begin with. So God had to level the playing field, right? Make him a little ugly. But I'm like, here you are. Here you are. Like, God answers prayer. Let me ask you this. When you pray, do you believe God that God will hear you? Because some of you don't know that. And the reason you don't know if God will hear you is because you haven't been walking with God. And we're gonna look at a guy today who walked with God his whole life, and he believed whenever he encountered something that was bigger than him, he could cry out to God and God would hear him. And he prayed one of the craziest prayers to ever be prayed. But listen to me, for God to move in your prayer life, you're gonna have to start moving with him. So let's pray together and ask God to move us today. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would move us. God, some of us are not believers. Move us to belief. Some of us who are believers who have wandered, God, move us back to where we're supposed to be. And some of us, God, are right where we need to be. And God, just encourage us today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would move us from where we are to where you want us to be. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you guys ever found yourself in a place where you don't want to be? Raise your hands. That's where our story begins. Joshua finds himself in a place where he doesn't want to be. It's not his fault. It was his parents' fault. His parents had made some bad decisions. The people who came before him hadn't followed God. You see, here's what happened. God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. They'd been slaves for hundreds of years. God miraculously, powerfully delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh, literally delivered him from his armies, from his power, crossed the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea. They walked through the Red Sea and God said, I'm gonna show you a land flowing full of milk and honey. But Moses did what politicians do. He took a survey and he invited 12 spies to go and look into the land. And 12 spies came back and all of them said, yep, the land's great. Yep, the land's beautiful. Yep, the land's amazing. But 10 of them said, we can't take the land. There are giants in the land. We can't do it. We can't take it. Two men, one guy by the name of Caleb and the other by the name of Joshua said, we can take this land because we serve a God who slays giants. But you know, Moses, like many of you, listened to popular opinion instead of to God. And so the people of Israel wandered for 40 years, 40 years in the desert. 40 years of people dying off because they didn't listen to God. They didn't follow to God. They didn't trust God. They weren't looking to God. They were looking at the political landscape. They were looking at the world around them. They were watching Fox News. They weren't in the Word. And slowly but surely, they died off. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves literally on the shores of the Promised Land. And that's where many of you are. You can see the Promised Land. It's right there. It's right there for you, but you won't take it. And do you know why? I'm not kidding you. I'm not cussing. This is the name of the real town. You're stuck in Shittim. That's the name of the town. People of Israel, they're in Shittim. Anybody been stuck in Shittim? That's where some of you are right now. Yep, that's me. I live in Shittim. It's where I dwell. And here's the thing. All the people of Israel have to do to leave Shittim is cross a creek called the Jordan River. You say, oh, it's a river. It's a creek. Oh, it's at flood stage. It's not the Mississippi. It's not a great river. It's a creek. All you have to do is trust God a little bit to leave Shittim. That's all you got to do. And some of you are like, oh, I can't do it. That's a creek. I can't swim. God said, I didn't call you to swim. I called you to follow me. You see, we serve a God who parts waters for people who can't swim. But God will never move in your life until you move for him. And that's the thing. So many of you, you're so frustrated. You've given up on God because you're like, God didn't bless my life. Let me ask you this. Why would God bless your life when you're not living for his? Why? The only reason you're in Shittim is because that's where you are. That's not where God's called you to be. He's called you to leave that place. Some of you, relation after relation, oh, I'm in Shittim again. Well, quit dating and start following God. I got another Shittim job. What are you doing? Working in Shittim. Well, why? Why are you there? Leave it. Follow God. Trust God. Yeah, but the creek is scary. It's better than Shittim. And so then they go. And they go into the land, and God parts the Jordan River, and they walk across miraculously. But then they come to the first town, Jericho. Oh, my gosh, it's a walled city with warriors. And so what do? They trust the same God who led them across the creek. And God says, I don't want you to fight. What I want you to do is march. I want you to take all your worship leaders. I want you to send them out first. I'm just telling you, like, if we're going to fight, I'm not sending out the aerobics instructor. I'm just not, right? Jesus, you know, I'm not sending that guy, you know? We're going to get you. We're going to get you. You know, like, no. Like, we love your flair, but you're in the back. We love you. We love you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? God says, no, bring forth the worship leaders, the dancers, the singers, right? It's like a Broadway spectacle, you know, of cats. You know, they're just like, what is going on? And God's saying, it's not your battle, it's mine. And he arms them with kazoos. And you're like, this doesn't make any sense. Welcome to God. So many of you are stuck in Shittim because you want God to make sense. Are there any parents in here? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Didn't you swear at one point in time that whatever question your kid asked, you would explain? That's what I used to tell my parents. When I'm a parent, I will explain to my children why. Listen to me, every single person, frontsiders, you too one day will say these words, because I said so. 15-year-olds right now, 20 years from, I'm gonna go, Pastor Matt was right. Why? Why? Because sometimes the explanation doesn't help. Why do I have to eat my vegetables? It's good for you. I'm still not doing it. Why can't I put my finger in this socket? Because you will die. I don't care. Right? Why do I have to go to bed? Because you'll die. I mean, sometimes explaining doesn't help. And here's the thing. Some of you are stuck in Shittim and you're like, well, when God explains to me why I shouldn't be in Shittim, then I'll leave. No, you won't. No, you won't. Sometimes following God doesn't make sense. If he wants you to blow a kazoo, blow a kazoo. Well, I don't like kazoos. I play the trumpet. Shut up. What would your life be like if you were just obedient? Just obedient. Just trust God. What would be different about your life? Everything. And some of you are moping around. Your Facebook status says lame. It's because you're in Shittim. Stop. Stop. And just trust God. Just trust God. So the walls of Jericho fall. They conquer the city. And guess what happens? Here's what's amazing. Sometimes non-believers are the first to get the movement of God. Believers are a little slow. I think that was God. Yeah. Maybe it was the kazoo. I don't know. The walls fall, and all of the peoples in the promised land are nervous because God is moving in the lives of his people. He's doing great things. He's parting the Jordan River. The walls of Jericho have fallen, and now all of a sudden, everybody's freaking out, and what they're saying is, we've got to get together. Like, I know we've had our differences culturally, ethnically, but we got to get together because Joshua marches in the name of God. And here's the problem. Some people figure it out. They figured out, they were like, wait a minute, God's on their team. So we're gonna join their team. And the Gibeonites switch teams. They switch. They're like, this is stupid. We can't fight an army that wins with kazoos. I don't care how tough you are. They got a kazoo, we're done. We're done. So that's where the story picks up. It says Adonai Zedek, single lady, circle that word. Just because a man has a good name doesn't mean he's a good guy. Let me give it to you in English. His name is the Lord of Righteousness. Wouldn't that be cool? Who are you dating? The Lord of Righteousness. It's pretty cool. I mean, I'd put that on Christian Mingle, wouldn't you? I'm the Lord. Adonai is Lord, Zedek, Righteousness. Who is he? He's the king of Jerusalem. Still not a good guy. He heard that Joshua had captured and completely destroyed Ai and killed its king. Now, that's concerning when you're the king. Just as he had heard that they destroyed the town of Jericho and killed its king. He also learned that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and were now their allies. Uh-oh, people are joining God. And he and his people became very afraid. And when they heard all this, because Gibeon was a large town, as large as the royal cities and larger than Ai, and the Gibeonite men were strong warriors. Wait a minute. The Navy SEALs are joining Joshua. This is not good. We got to come together. We got to come together now. We got to stop this. So King Adonai Zedek of Jerusalem sent messengers to several other kings. He said, come, help me destroy Gibeon. He urged them. We're not going to attack God yet. We're going to kill Gibeon first. He urged them. They have made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel. And so these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. Isn't it amazing how the enemy knows we're supposed to be united, but Christians, we can't figure it out? What would happen if Sandals Church actually got united? What would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. The gates of hell would tremble. Tremble when the people of God are united with God. It says, so these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack, and they moved all their troops into place to attack Gibeon. They're ready to fight. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua, to his camp at Gilgal. He said, "Don't abandon your servants now. Come at once, save us, help us. For all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us." Now here's the thing. Some of you don't know how the Gibeonites made peace with the Israelites. They lied. They lied. They said, "We don't live here. We're not from your neighborhood. We're from another country. But we've heard God's awesome with you, so we want you to make an oath with us so that you won't kill us and we'll be your friends." And the Bible says Joshua did not consult the Lord. And so he made peace with the Gibeonites. Anybody ever made a decision when you didn't consult the Lord? Should I buy this car? Yeah. Should I buy this house? Should I date this guy? What's the worst that could happen? That's why you're in Shittim. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about Joshua. You know what? Listen to me. Joshua made a mistake, but Joshua was a man of his word. He's a man of his word. He gave an oath. He gave his word. Think about it in our world, man. You got to sign. Your contracts have contracts. Anybody ever sign something, then you got to circle that you signed it? You got to initial, to rent a car, you got to initial like 27 times. Yep. Because nobody honors their word anymore. Joshua is a man of his word. He's like, "Fine, we're friends. You lied, but we're friends, and I'm stuck with you." Because that's what men of God do. And you got all these Gibeonites who are not Israelites, but now they're on the team. Now they've joined. And some of you are having a hard time with this. You have a hard time with the Gibeonites. You see, here's what happens. Here's why we need to raise $10 million, because the Gibeonites have joined us. Sandals Church grew last year by 3,000 people. 3,000, yeah, one amen. Everyone else is like, "Well, they gotta fight their own battle." Some of you are like, "Well, have they attended the Sandals workshops? Have they converted? Are they serving on a team? Are they giving?" Right? Isn't it amazing how critical we are of other people that get saved? When we're saved, we're like, "Woohoo!" When you get saved, we're like, "Whoa, we'll see. We'll see." And so the people of God, they got to decide what to do. I want you to write in your notes, the people of God are not under attack. The Gibeonites are. You see, this is for new growth. This is for new people. Let me tell you something. Many of you attended dying churches before you came to Sandals. Do you know why churches die? Because they won't die for the Gibeonites. Churches make it all about themselves. All about themselves, and they become castles for God, and they forget what we're supposed to do is help turn people from sin to God. And that's what happened to the Gibeonites. They're like, "Yep, you guys follow God." Now, they didn't do it right. Do sinners always get right with God the right way? "Well, the only reason you're coming to Christ is because you screwed up your life." Yeah, me too. Me too. I love this. So Joshua and his entire army, including, circle this word, his best warriors. Why is that important? Because you're a Christian. This is what Christians do. We love to give our worst because God gave us his best. Drives me crazy. You're getting rid of a couch. Maybe God needs it. It's not good enough for your buns, but it's good enough for the Lord. Right? I hate that, man. Anybody have a neighbor? Put a bunch of junk out front, says free. Like, I just want to go up and write crap. I don't, but I want to. Right? This isn't good enough for our house. Maybe it's good enough for yours. I mean, some of you, you've been, "Hey, where's those kazoo players, those worship leaders? Send them. Let's see how they do." They're like, "Yeah." No. Listen to what Joshua does. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, listen, give God your best or don't give. Because that's what God gave you. His very best. God didn't send you his dysfunctional son. Right? He didn't send you the kid he was trying to get rid of anyway. Right, that's why there are qualifications for which child can serve in the temple, because you know which son parents would bring forward? The one we hope is a sacrifice. It's amazing. There's a reason you have to bring your best lamb, because you can't bring the lamb that's like, you can't bring that one. You laugh, but that's what you do. Every single week, that's what we do. Here, Lord, here's what I have left over. Hate leftovers. God, give God your best. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. If you want God to move, you need to move with God. See, so many of you Christians, you believe that God is going to do a miracle without you. God has invited you to be a part of the miracle. You need to join God. You need to follow God. And God says, don't be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Listen to me, the battle is won, but we still got to march. You see, some of you guys, you want God to do everything and you are unwilling to do anything. Don't be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Why? Because I'm standing next to you. Right? I'm standing next to you. Let me ask you a question. Is God standing next to you? He's not if you're in Chittim. You're by yourself. You're hanging out with the Chittimites. Some of you are like, oh, wow, yeah. He says, not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Joshua traveled, circle these words, all night. All night. All night long, they marched. And they took the Amorite armies by surprise. Just right in there, just because God's called me to be faithful doesn't mean he wants me to be stupid. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your mind. Use your brain. Don't check it at the door. The Lord threw them into panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. And then the Israelites chased the enemy all the way down the road to Beth Horon, killing them along the way. Somebody's like, oh, this is not the God that I know, because you don't know God. Well, God would never kill anybody. Listen to me. God made you. God can kill you. He's God. He doesn't owe you anything. You are a creation of his mind. You exist because of his pleasure. And the moment he's done with you, you're done. You don't get to protest. This is God. This is who God is. And let me tell you something. Some of you don't understand that there's a battle for people's souls. And there's a great battle that we're headed towards. It's called Armageddon, where everybody who's against God and everybody who's for God, they're going to line up on different sides. The Lord threw them into a panic. And the Israelites slaughtered a great number of them. And as they chased them, they killed them. As the Amorites retreated down the road, the Lord destroyed them. I love this, with a hailstorm. You say, why is that so awesome? Because they live in Israel. Israel's like San Diego. Have you ever heard of a hailstorm that kills people in San Diego? If you're ever in San Diego and there's a hailstorm that's killing people, just repent. Like if you live in Colorado or Kansas, that's Tuesday. But if you're in San Diego, right? I mean, can you imagine getting in a snowball fight with God? I'm behind this tree. God's like, curveball, whack. I mean, literally. It's like that game at Disneyland where you shoot and the angels are like, got him. Boop. Boop. Where's that coming from? God! Just repent. No, I think I can win. Like the people of Joshua are so awesome. God's like, I got to get in this. And he just starts pegging people with snowballs. Pew, 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 pew. From heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. He just keeps killing. The hail killed more enemies than the Israelites killed. God won. He's like, I killed more than you guys. He said, how many did you get? How many did you get? How many did you get? He said, I got more than all of you combined with snowballs. On that day, the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites. The Bible says Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He prayed He prayed one of the craziest prayers that's ever been prayed. I don't know if you're ever going to be this desperate or if you're ever going to have this much faith, but Joshua prayed what no man has ever prayed before in the history of the world. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon. Let the sun stand still and the moon over the valley of Jezreel. And so the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel defeated their enemies. Joshua said, they're almost dead, but we're out of time. I need more time. Anybody ever press pause on a video game? Joshua said, God, I need you to pause time. God's like, cool.
So I'm like, well, that's technically impossible. Scientifically, the earth is, listen, smarty pants.
I don't know how he did it. People always say this, Father Time's undefeated until Father Time meets Father God. Then Father Time loses every time. Every time. Time only exists because God created it. God does not exist in time. He created time so you exist. And some of you don't realize that time is a created thing. Scientists will tell you when they look at the universe, it looks like a time watch that's been wound and is slowly ticking to a point where it no longer exists. It's winding down. Joshua says, God, give me more time. Give me more time. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as a normal day. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, neither did the ancient people. Listen to what the verse says. It says, is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? What does that mean? The Bible says, Google it. Right? Google it. The book of Jashar, read it. It says it happened. Why? Because no one had ever seen anything like this before. What happened? The ancient peoples, man, they studied the heavens. They studied the rotation of the planets, the stars, the moons, man. They understood. Something happened where the people of Jashar were like, write that down. That was weird. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as a normal day. There has never been a day like this before or since. When the Lord answered such a prayer. That's why Jesus said, if you pray that the Lord would throw a mountain into the ocean, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it will. Joshua believed God, trusted God. He didn't ask God for victory. He asked God for time. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. I want to ask a question. Why would the Lord lengthen your days? Why would God give you more time? Well, because I love my family. You know what Jesus says? Then you're just like a sinner, for they love those who love them. What's so special about your life for God to give you more time, for God to bless you? Why on earth would God give you more time? Everybody wants more time with the love of their life. Everybody wants more time to see things they've never seen. Everybody wants more time with their kids, more time to accomplish, to go somewhere, to do something. What makes you so special? What made Joshua so special that literally God pressed pause on time? Write this down. God lengthens the days of those who fear him. Jesus asked this question, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Do you know what freaking out does? Nothing. Maybe kills you sooner. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? The Bible says this, the fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. The years of the wicked are cut short. Do you know how long Joshua lived? He lived to be 110. 110. No medicine, no rehab, no treatments, none of all the modern things that we, 110. How many of you guys would be good with 110? No, you want more years? Okay. I'm good with 110. When I can't chew my own food, I'm out. I don't want you chewing my food and then giving it to me. I'm not eating a burger in a blender. I want to tell you, 110 years old. Joshua never died fighting for God because he feared God. He died when it was his time. Joshua fought battles his entire life. Joshua never fought a battle where he had the best army ever. But he trusted God. He trusted God. He feared God. He didn't fear the giants living in the land. He didn't fear popular opinion. He didn't fear the people. He feared God. And whenever God called him, he showed up. Man, things are scary. It's easier to go to a church that isn't growing, that isn't trying to raise money. Every time I meet a pastor, they're like, "You're trying to raise $10 million?" They're like, "Ugh." Because it's scary. Not when you're following God. Not when you're trusting God. I would rather be afraid and follow God than live in Shittim. But some of you, you're far more comfortable there. Well, I'm used to it. Enjoy. I don't want to live there. Next, God lengthens the days of those who obey him. Joshua's obedient. Didn't pray about it, didn't need to think about it. If God said it, I'm doing it. Joshua was just one of those guys. What would happen in your life if you just started obeying God? Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Parents, you want to memorize this first. Have your children memorize it. It says, children, obey your parents. Why? Because your mom and dad are cool? Because your mom and dad are awesome? No, because you belong to the Lord. And all authority from God starts with the parents. This is the right thing to do. Listen to your parents. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor mom and dad, things will go well with you. I think I've quoted this to my kids. You want to live? Then obey. Your mother and I, we can make more. It's true. Right? And the process is quite enjoyable. So just test me. Test me right now. Things will go well with you and you will have a long life on earth. God says, I want to bless you. I don't want you to live in Shittim. I don't want you to die of loneliness. I want you to cross the dumb creek. Listen to me. Follow me. Blessings and the lengthening of life begins with obedience. I love the scripture's so good. Ecclesiastes 7:10. I love this verse. Don't be overly wicked. If you got to pray about that word overly, you're probably on the wrong side. Well, I don't know if I'm overly wicked. Don't be overly wicked. I love this. And don't be a fool. You see, there's two ways your life can end quickly: being evil and being stupid. Right? We all go to funerals. Wow, that was just so sad. It must have been his time. No, he was dumb. I mean, you can't say that, but you think it. You can't. Don't say that. Don't quote this verse. Don't be overly wicked. Why? What comes around what? Goes around. What does Jesus say? Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Woo. Don't be overly wicked. Don't be a fool. Why should you die? Wait for it before your time. Oh, but I thought it was always my time. I think there's a timeout section in heaven. All the dumb Christians. Well, it must have been my time. God's like, nope, timeout. And there's two timeout rooms in heaven. The one for the idiots, wasn't your time, but you were stupid. And the wicked people, yeah, you're a little evil, get over there. Can you imagine? You show up to heaven, must have been my time. And God's like, no, that was dumb or evil, and now you're dead. Don't be overly wicked. Don't be a fool. In your notes, I put in there Job 22:16, one of the greatest books in the Bible. And it says, may you live the full length of your days. Listen to me. Your choices matter. Your choices matter. Don't think you get to be stupid and a fool and God's job is to bail you out repeatedly. Here's what God said to the fools in Israel. You can die in the desert and you will wander for 40 years. Joshua said, I'm not going to be that idiot. I'm going to follow God. I saw what my mom and dad did wrong. I'm following God. And when he says fight, I'm fighting. When he says go, I'm going. And I don't care. I'm going to be obedient. Joshua was always obedient. From the time that he was little, he obeyed Moses. Moses wasn't a perfect leader. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because of his anger. But Joshua did, because he was obedient. Next, God lengthens the days of those who fight for him.
So you're in a battle with cancer. God lengthens the days of those who are in his battle. Let me ask you this question. Why would God heal a warrior who has no intentions of fighting? So many of you are like, God bless my life. God, come join my life. God, come be about me. And I hear all these pastors, God wants to fulfill your dreams, your desires. And I'm like, no. God came to save you from your dreams. God came to save you from your desires. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Your plans are shit'em. My plans are milk and honey. You have no idea. You have no idea what God has in store for you. God lengthens the days of those who fight for him. Man, if you keep losing battles, who are you fighting for? Who are you fighting for? You know, maybe you're fighting for Team Shittim. It's time to change sides. Cross the creek. Joshua fought whenever the Lord called. He fought. He was a brave warrior. He had a buddy named Caleb. And when they attacked Jordan, when they attacked Jericho, Caleb's 80 years old. He says, I'm going to fight. I don't know what, if they had to whack somebody and then he came over with his walker and I don't know what he did. But man, he says, I'm still vigorous for the Lord. Still going to fight for God. Amen. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Some of you are fighting battles that are your own battles. Get out of them. Make peace and leave. Surrender to God. Some of you are fighting these battles with your friends, with work. You're constantly in conflict with all these people. And you're like, I don't know why God's got all these people around me. It's because you're in shit'em. Get out of there. Get out of there. Cross the creek. Come over to the other side. Repent. Make peace. Make peace. Here's what the Bible says. As far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all people. You're not called to fight people. You're called to fight for God. And it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemies are not those idiots on the 91 freeway. That's who we're trying to save. God's called you to fight for him. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight for the true faith. And some of you are so fired up. You're more passionate about a Supreme Court nomination than you are about winning somebody to Jesus. Isn't it amazing how easily we're distracted? I am so easily distracted. I so easily pick the wrong battles. I so easily identify the wrong issues, and we're so passionate about them. Man, this week, my back's been hurting. I had to quit a run. I was frustrated. The whole way home, I'm just talking to God. I was stuck in shit'em. The whole way home, I'm like, why? Why is this happening? I don't know, maybe you're 47 and you need to quit running. Walked all the way home. I had to walk 2 miles home. Super irritated. About ready to go home, and there's my neighbor. I don't know about your neighborhood, but we don't talk to our neighbors in my neighborhood. We build fences and walls and stare at each other. And there's my neighbor sitting outside. And the truth is, I only sat down to talk to him because I was tired from walking. And this is what he says. He said, I gave up on God 20 years ago. Those are his opening words. Oh, maybe today's not about a run. Maybe today is about saving a soul. He said, my wife's not a Christian. He said, I can't even go there. He said, but my daughter, and she's sitting next to him, he says, she keeps asking me about God and it's killing me because I know I need to teach her. You see, I thought my battle that day was running 10 miles. That's the wrong battle. My battle was to help a dad fight for the right things for his kid. That's the battle. That's the battle. And we sat down and we talked. And it was amazing. He's a great guy, smart guy. And he began to talk to me about all of his hurts from church. And I invited him. I said, come. Come.
Fight the good fight for the true faith. Look, I know you're willing to fight for you. Are you willing to fight for God? Paul says this to Timothy, I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have remained faithful. Listen to me. If you're older, just because you grow old doesn't mean you grow up. Now more than ever, elderly live like children. Listen to me. Why would God lengthen your days so you can go on another RV trip? God might lengthen your days so you can help somebody with their trip to heaven. This week, I sat down with a friend of mine who lost his dad. I said, how you doing since your dad died? I was not ready for his answer. He said, better. It broke my heart. I said, better? He said, better. Listen to me. He said, my dad did not finish well. The Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. I don't know what your life is going to be like, but here's my prayer, that you would finish the race. Not everybody does. We're trying to raise some money because the Gibeonites have joined our church. All God's asking you for is to show up and be a part and trust him. And here's what I believe. If we march, if we're faithful, and if we give, the money's already there. It's already there. God loves you and he's called you out of Shittim. And my prayer is that like Joshua, you would follow him to the end of your days. Because Jesus didn't just offer a long life, he's offered eternal life. And that is for all those who are faithful to the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this amazing church, these amazing people. God, bless them with a spirit of faith. God, for those of us who are fighting the wrong battles, Lord, we're angry with friends. We don't give grace. We've not forgiven. God, let us lay that aside. Give us a spirit of grace, Lord. Let us be obedient as far as it depends upon us. Let us be at peace with all people. And God, for heaven's name, let us get back in the fight. Let us serve this church. Let us do great things. Let us take down Jericho's in your name. Father, I believe you want to do great things in every single one of our lives, but you want us to fight in your battles. Help us to join you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.